2, and beginning with verse 1. Now, you therefore, my son, be strong in grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one engaged in the warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is crowned. He is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must first partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Christ Jesus, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which we suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Verse 11, this is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. And if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. There's something about to being God's called out witnesses. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight as we open the word, as we study, as Lord, we enter into your presence, as we're given instruction, Lord. The Bible says that we are soldiers. Soldiers first. And Lord, we thank you that before a soldier goes into battle that there's training, that we have to have understanding that without training we could die. Without training someone else could die. Without training someone else could be hurt. And even in ourselves, Lord, without being trained as a Christian, we might hurt somebody else in the way we live. Help us to be trained through the word of God tonight, through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Lord, teach our hearts what you're trying to teach us tonight, that we may be those good witnesses, those good soldiers called out by God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, 2 Timothy, we began here in 2 Timothy 2:1. It says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus and the things that you have heard from among many witnesses. Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. But you know, many are called, but few are chosen. You heard that scripture before? Many are called, but few are chosen. And I'll tell you why. Because you know what? God uses us as witnesses. We need to understand something here. We're not just living this life for ourselves. We're being changed for the glory of God. You're not, you know what? Far too often, this is what a selfish person does. We think, and even in the things of God, maybe we need to be a little bit here sometimes, but we think, oh, this is all just for me. You know, some people, you have to live in my world. You know anybody like that? They're like the center of the universe, and everybody else lives in their world. But we were talking about on Sunday morning that even in the anointing, and I know a lot of anointed people, I see some people, right when they get saved and they have an atmosphere about them, they have a love of God and understanding, and you get to see that they're just being loaded up by God, the knowledge, the things are being pushed into them. There's an anointing on them. But I was saying on Sunday, and I'll say it again tonight, that you really, your anointing is one thing, but you can't be used by God until God shows you yourself. Not shows you him, because God will always show himself, because we can't serve God without God. We can't have a form of godliness. There's the Bible that said that people have a form of godliness but deny his power. So there is an act of having being on the outside. Some guys wear, you know, they're in church all week or on the weekend, and then on Monday they're totally different. And, you know, they present themselves, and, you know, I'm not picking on anybody right now. I'm saying this generally. And then, you know, they're Sunday Christians, but they're Monday sinners. And we all have a little bit of sin in us. We talked about it on Sunday, but here's, I want to show you something here tonight. The reason I say that God wants to use us to all be teachers. Can I get an amen? How many teachers do I have in here? You guys are all teachers. And I'll tell you how. You might say, well, I don't have a teacher. I don't like to get up. I don't like to speak. You know, I don't like to be this. Missy's not here, but I'm going to use her as an example. On New Year's Eve, she wouldn't get up to speak. She has a fear of public speaking. Oh, my God. Well, as soon as the testimony came in, she went back to that back door where she can run out that out the back. She did. She sat back there. She said, and people were looking at her. And she's like, But in her life and on her job, everybody's watching her. She's changing. I've seen her ever since she started the Tuesday night Bible studies with the women's and stuff. I see her in there. She comes in. She was in there night before last, and she was talking about what was being taught. And I was just watching her, listening to her. Man, she was spurting out Bible and things and circumstances. I was just like, my God, she's grown, you know. The women are really grown. But where we don't see it, the people on her job see it. They know that she's the girl now at the office when they need prayer. They used to call, we'll call her mom, and oh, you better have your mom go down there. They don't do that anymore. They call Misty, and Misty prays for them over the phone. She's an example. See what I mean? And she might not say, well, I'm a teacher. I don't want to get up, and I can't be in front of people. But by her life, she's that example. She is a witness for God. Witnessing is means that something has seen something, you're a witness. If they call you into court, you might say, is this the guy? Can you pick him in the court today? Yes, I'm Pete Sierra right there. He's the one, he did it all. And that would be a witness. They were the one that examined it or whatever. But they're one that can tell. They're actually the one that bring out the truth. Amen? And so Misty and others, I know a lot of you in this church, you guys are growing. I see it every year. We saw a lot of the witnesses. But we're going to be talking about Hebrews 12:1 said this. Therefore, we also, since are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with the endurance. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So what is he speaking about here? That we are not the first person going through the trials and temptations. That there are really people that could... people that God can put as witnesses because they have been through the same things and know the outcomes. Amen? And so this is the thing. Are we know-it-alls? Is Pastor Pete a pastor because he knows it all? No, am I Pastor Dennis because I know it all? I'm going to pick on Pete tonight because my wife's not here. But is this the thing here? Is it because we know so much? But here's the thing. We're witnesses because we have been there. And you know, far too often, you know what God says this, especially in the body, that I need people. I need people that I can put in your place. Because here's the thing. We were counseling a young girl, the family, new family. They're going to be coming to church here. But the daughter's a young girl. She's in school. Something happened, and the family is real angry. And we're having counseling. And I'm usually counseling somebody that, man, some of the things we do as Christians and our family members, I'm thinking that we need, you know, it's usually, you're almost going to jail kind of stuff. But this one, a little thing happened, but it was so traumatic for the family. And I'm telling her my circumstances, and I'm scaring them to death because they're a good family. But I'm telling you this because I have witnessed this myself, that if you keep going down this path, you shall end up here. And you have a point in your life right now that you're at a pivotal point right now. And you have witnesses in this room that people have gone before. There's the great cloud of witnesses is that you don't have to fall in the same traps that we do. You know, I'll tell you I've been there and it doesn't end well. I'm that witness. Amen. So if I had known what I had known today, I definitely would have done things different. Amen. I have that to share so you don't have to fall in or be snared by the same traps in your race. And so as Christians, here's the thing. As we age, so often we say, oh my God, that the Lord is doing this just for me, and he is. But you got to remember something. We're talking about trials, and we're talking about things we're going through, especially as the church. And what we were talking about on New Year's Eve, a lot of them were talking about, you know, hey, I grow this year, this and that, but I still fell short. Everybody said, I know I could do better. And this is the thing we need to understand something here. God was not picking on you. God is not angry with you. If the Lord is showing you something, he's saying, I got better plans. I'm not trying to convict you for last year. You know, the devil might say, oh, you blew it, you this and that, you're supposed to be someone else. We don't listen to the devil. God might be saying, hey, I want you to do the better here or this and that, but he's not mad at you. He's setting you up for success, not for failure. Amen? And so, anyway, let's look at verse 2 and 3 in 3 and 4. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. I got to ask a couple questions right now. When you got saved, did anybody tell you it was going to be easy? Did anybody? Oh, matter of fact, the day you gave yourself to the Lord, did they say, now you're in, you don't have to struggle again? Well, if they did, they lied to you. They lied to you. And you know what? Sometimes we think, oh my God, if I, you know what? I'm living for God. I gave him so much. He should take care of everything for me. Anybody like that? Oh, I gave up such a good life of drugs and losing everything. God should do everything for me. But he doesn't say that. God says it doesn't say it's going to be easy. He really looks at us as a soldier. We're going to look at that again. Anybody know anybody in the armed forces? Anybody ever been in the armed forces? Well, if you ever thought about it, maybe you didn't go on for me neither. I didn't want to listen to nobody. But there's a reason it's like that. There's a reason that soldiers are the way they are. Amen? So did anybody promise you that it would be easy? It says it right here that we would endure hardships. No one ever said it was going to be easy. Far too often we think that we can retreat from our work for God because of the enemy's attack on our personal lives. But in the time of deployment, we have to trust in God to handle our personal business. And here's the thing too. You know, we're going to go through struggles in life. And this is the thing about God. And like even different on our jobs. How many people say, you know what, when something's going personal life, I don't go to work? Anybody? How many unemployment do I have now? Come on. Sometimes, don't we? There's circumstances. There's always going to be circumstances. There's things that need to be done at home. Especially as good people, we need to take care of our home. The Bible says, how can you take care of the church if your home is not in order first? So there's going to be times. But you know what? You have to trust that your home is in order. That's why as Christians, we start to do something. Even our home life changes. We start to put things in order and safety factor. God has us. But we don't do that with work. Yet sometimes with God, anybody, sometimes we do that. I've done that. God said to do something and I said, you know what? We're all guilty. I'm guilty. We're all guilty of it. You know, we're supposed to do something. We said, you know what, God, I got this going on. But you don't do that in this, especially a soldier. Like the ones in our armed services. Oh, there's a battle going on. You know what? My car needs a tune up. You know, nothing. There's no excuse. There is none. When you're a soldier, when you're enlisted as a soldier, your time of being a soldier, that's it. What everything goes on, you're going to trust. You know, there's circumstances that go on, but God has it under control. But we need to look at our life with God as a soldier tonight. Amen. It says here in verse 4, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Who has called you tonight? Come on. What has he given? Think about it. What has he given? He gave his life. The Lord endured as a good soldier. He was the first among many brothers. He gave his life. He gave his best. He gave his all. And anyway, do it to please him. Amen. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 5 says this. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is crowned. He is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must first partake of the crops. Consider what I say, verse 7, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. I love this part. If anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Our walk is no different. Listen, we want God to bless us, right? Amen? Who wants God to bless him? And do all the Bible says that he will do. How many things does the Bible say that God will do? I mean, if you go through it, we're blessed no matter what. And is God a liar? No. Is man a liar? Yes. But God is not a liar. Listen to me. If we want everything the Bible says, then we have to also follow by the rules. You know, we're seeing things going, oh, Lord, I want that and everything else. Are you doing the same as everybody else? Are we following the rules tonight? Amen? Look at verse 6. It says this, 2 Timothy 2, verse 6 says, the hardworking farmer must first partake of the crops. You have to, you can't have a harvest unless you have planted something to harvest. He's talking about a farmer here right now. How many of you guys got gardens? We live in Glendora. Yeah, Peter Gavilla, he does his yard work. But I mean, how many of us really farm? Huh? There was a guy today, my wife is watching, pray for her, she's watching a lot of these murder mysteries. I don't know why. I'm sleeping with one eye open. But the girl was lost in the corn. The body was found in the corn. And I just said, I don't know how come nobody ever heard what happened with all those ears. She told me, don't say it. Don't use that one, because she was looking at me like, oh, brother. Pray for my wife. See, for her to miss church, she has to be really not feeling good. So Lord bless her tonight. Amen. You can't have a harvest unless you planted something to harvest. And we can hear this all the time and not give, not tithe, not serve, not pray, not study, because we don't have understanding of the manual. You know, we wonder, Lord, why isn't this working? Why isn't this going? Why isn't this this? The Bible says you're not going to gain anything unless you abide in the rules. The rules is the Word of God. This is a manual. This is an instruction manual. The Bible's instruction manual. If we follow the instructions to the T, you will have a perfect product. How many have ever installed something and threw away the manual? How come there's always extra screws and nuts and bolts? Why? Why? Them Chinese men, they don't know how many count them nuts and bolts because they always got extra. And then it kind of goes down the road like this. And this is the same way with God. We want to take what we want out of the Bible. We want to apply it to our life. We want to read the good things. We want to get the good stuff. But we don't want to press into the hard stuff sometimes. And you know what? Like everything else, we got to abide by the full rules, by the full word. And it's the whole thing he's talking here, like in a harvest. How do we get a harvest unless we plant something? How do we get our prayers answered if we're not even praying? It's like the person said, oh, let me win the lottery. And then the guy never buys a ticket. It's the same concept here. Amen? I'm not telling you to go get a lottery ticket, even though it is $500 million. I walked in and then I gave, listen, I'm going to be honest. I walked in, I gave the guy, I went because I had to go to the laundromat last night. My dog didn't get out in time and went on my comforter. My wife's going to be so mad. I went to the laundromat, washed it, and then I went in there and I gave him 20 dimes. Because it was my laundry money. The guy goes, what's that? I said, one ticket. He goes, and everybody's waiting in lines. He goes, one ticket? I said, if God wants me to win, it's going to take one ticket. That's right. Not 20, not 100, not 1,000. Don't go mortgage your home. You know what I mean? If God wants me to do it, listen to this. I pay my tithes. I pay my bills. I pay everything else. The rest is mine. $1 is not going to hurt. Or what, it was a $2? I put the thing in. At $500 million, we could have a beautiful church. And I would build a church. Hallelujah. But I'm not telling you to go gamble. I'm not telling you anything. If the Lord says not to, don't do it. But for $500 million, you know. But God, could God trust me with that? Could he trust us with that? Amen? Let's see here. And we can hear this all the time, not giving, not tithing, not serving, not praying, not studying, because we don't have what? Understanding of the manual or the word. In verse 7, it said this, 2 Timothy 2:7, consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. See, this is the whole thing here. We need to understand something. Sometimes we even say this. You ever said this to anybody? I just don't get it. I don't understand it. Have you ever read something in the Bible and just said, I don't get it? God wants to give you understanding. He wants you to go a little deeper. And you know, there's been times where I've heard the word and I've heard it 20 times. Then I heard it and someone taught it or preached it. And I look at them like, oh my God, that is so powerful, that revelation. Why? Because the Lord gave me understanding. He says this in the Bible. He says, get understanding. If there's things going in your life, if there's things that are going wrong, if you're thinking, okay, I've given this much and I'm not getting back my return, then you haven't got the understanding of it. You haven't dug deep enough in the Word of God or the manual. You know, there's the thing we need to do, another thing we need to do, and I want to share this, because get a parallel Bible. Everybody know what a parallel Bible is? It's a version of King James, New King James, and maybe the Amplified or Living, the NIV or something. Get different translations. Because sometimes the Word of God is. The King James, I don't know if I'm thou or he or thee or thou or thee, we, we. I don't. Sometimes I'm confused and maybe it made me go a little deeper, so I read the New King James. But there comes a time, amen, we need to get understanding. And tonight is no different. The Lord is trying to give us understanding of who we are. We are no longer of our own. We are His. And we need to understand something. Listen to this. Jesus gave His life, okay? He gave His life. He paid a price for sin. That was a ransom paid for sin. The ransom is just like if I was kidnapped, and for me to get myself back, He paid the ransom, and now I'm His. Sometimes we think this, just because God said it's free, now we're free of everything. No, nothing's free. We came out of that bondage, and now we have a master, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. He's not the same way as a tyrant master. He's a good master. He loves us. He's not just somebody that bought us, and now we owe Him. Now He bought us, and we owe nothing but our love for Him. Amen? But we need to understand something here. When something has been paid for, it is no longer our own. Just because He bought us, now He owns us as well. But He doesn't just say, okay, you're a slave. He makes us a soldier. He makes us a family member. Amen? So we need to see something here. Consider what I say. How does God speak to us or instruct us? In His Word, His manual, and through prayer. 2 Timothy 2:8 says this, remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Hallelujah. Someone that doesn't know God would say this, why would God put us through that? Why would God put us through that? See, when you don't know God, things like that happen. When you don't understand or have that place with God, those kind of things will happen. Oh, I don't know why God would do that. You know, you're in a place away from God when we start to. And I know people that have a form of godliness or relationship, say, well, I'm a Christian, I believe in God, but they don't have the word or the understanding. They don't know. Say something like this. Why does God allow all the killing and starvation in the world? God, but we need to understand something. God hasn't created that. We did. God hasn't created all the evil in the world. We did. Man did. Human beings did. God had a perfect plan. Evil got in. Evil happens. Death comes by evil. Amen? But God has a better plan. Amen? But listen to this. But even so that we have to go through trial, Even so that we go through trials, how does it glorify God? Listen, how does it glorify God when I have to go through something? Sickness or maybe loss. Somebody dies. Well, how does it glorify God? We need to understand something. We got to start all over here. Go back to the very beginning. We're witnesses. We're witnesses. Do you know when people see us go through things strong in God, it creates a way for them, easier way to go through things. It gives them understanding. You know, things are going to happen. David, I remember when he lost his son, King David lost his son. He mourned, but in the morning he's like, okay, because he knew what was going on. Everybody looked at him like, what's going with this? But he was an example of what to live. That's a hard thing to go through. Some of us have been through some really hard struggles and trials. We've gone through Josh as a baby and all those things. Cindy went through some tough things. But you know what? You're a witness now that what God can do. You know, we bring hope to a lost world. Why does God create all that? No, what about what God has done? What has it done? You know, there was a trial in my accident, how God healed me and how people are being healed today. And we tell them this and that. Well, why is God getting everybody sick? God is not getting sick. This is a fallen world. But people are getting healed. The glory of God is being revealed. In everything, the glory of God is being revealed. What does Romans say? That all things work together for good. Even the evil things, even the bad things work for God. If we will witness that way, we need to stay strong as a good soldier. Amen? God knows exactly what He's doing. And we will have to know that God has our best intentions and knows that we can do all things through Him who strengthens us. Amen? Do you think generals in time of war say, we can't send soldiers into the battle because they might get hurt? I'll tell you why. We got somebody in our office right now that's like that. Oh, no feet on the ground. Oh, no, well, we just can't. That's not a good soldier. That's not a good commander. See, because you know what? It's the greater good of the body. It's for the greater good. It's for the safety. And we have the best general. Amen? Listen to this. And what about soldiers when they get their orders for battle? say, well, I don't think I'm going to go because, no. We have to trust in that authority, the spiritual authority that we have in our Lord, knowing that we have that, that he has that perfect plan that we'll live in that part. Soldiers can't say all of a sudden, you know, this is what happens. I'll tell you the funny thing about it. A lot of young people enlist in the army when nothing's going on. You know, they're going to go, hey, I'm going to get in this 3-year. I don't even have to go. I have to go to boot camp, this and that. And then when war gets called up, who are the first ones to go? They do. And they can't say all of a sudden, well, oh, I've been being paid for 1.5 years, but I don't want to go now. I quit. It don't work that way. As soldiers, we don't get what we want. We have to look and understand. We have to trust in the authority. We have to trust in our government to take care of our soldiers. We have to trust in our generals. We have to trust in those that have been put in authority, that they know what they're doing, that they have our best interest. You know, people are going to get hurt in war. You know, generals, when they say that, they don't look like, well, I'm not going to send them, or I can't send this. They look what's the greatest way to win the war, to save the most. That's their jobs. That's what generals do, amen? But you know, even as soldiers, we can't say what we pick and choose what we want to do when we have been enlisted by God. If God is telling us to do something, we can't say, oh, I don't want to do that. No, we have to do it knowing God's perfect plan and will is for us, amen? Listen to this. In verse 11, it said this. This is a faithful saying. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. You got to remember something here. We died to ourselves. We have died to ourselves. We are no longer ourselves. We died with him, and now we're alive in him. Who would you rather, what side would you rather be on in time of battle? You know what they say? There's no atheists in a foxhole. You ever heard that? And they're all praying. They all believe in God when they're in there. Scared to death. I don't know how I'd act. You know what I mean? I was never a soldier. Verse 12 says, if we endure, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. That's pretty scary. And if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. See, even when I'm not faithful, God is. Because that's who he is. Even when I'm not as trustworthy, he can be, because he is no different. Even when I fail, he doesn't fail. Amen? We serve that ultimate commander in the ultimate battle, and we have already won because we have already run it all. But sometimes we got to remember what side we're on. Come on, soldiers. We got to remember what side we're on. Amen? You got to remember that this is the army. This is the group. This is the command that God has given us right here in this church. And in our churches, amen? He's given us groups. It's like anything else. There's if you look at any battalion, you look at anything of God, he puts them in order from the very beginning. Moses' uncle went and put them, some by 50, some by 100. Read the Bible. Talks about what God did. This is the group that we have been assigned to. And you know what soldiers do? They don't worry about themselves. They said, if I fall, my person on my right might die. And this is how we need to look the same way. We're not just protecting ourselves. As soldiers in this church, if we fall, it'll hurt the certain person on this side. If I give up, it'll be on the person on this side. We need to stand strong for everybody on the side of us. Sometimes, you know, the thing is, we don't deny ourselves enough. We think, oh, I'm just not going to do something today. You got to know something. It just doesn't affect you. It affects everybody around you, especially in the church. And as the church, as we're growing, we're understanding this, how we affect other peoples. And sometimes we don't. We can't live as the center of our universe. Sometimes we want to live as that center of our universe. Everything's going to revolve around me. We need to understand something, that it needs to revolve around Jesus Christ. And we're all together going in that circle around him. Amen? But sometimes we got to remember what side we're on. 2 Timothy 2:14 says this, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words of no profit to the ruins of the ears. You ever say anything to anybody in the church? Ever talk about anybody in the church? To the ruin of the hearers. Sometimes the things we say with idle words hurts deeper than we can ever understand. A slip of the tongue, a stab in the back, something just malice. And I'm guilty, man. I got to watch what I say. Even just being funny sometimes, got to watch what I say. Because the truth of the matter is, we don't know the condition of the heart that are people around us. That's right. And we don't know. Listen, people are watching us all the time. People are just watching us. I didn't realize how much, you know, like people are just examining stuff. Amen? Listen to this. Christians can be the worst example of soldiers for Christ in the way they fight and argue the ways of God. People are watching us all the time. We were in the market. I went to, we fed, matter of fact, church, you're going to like this. We fed at Glenkirk. CCV fed at Glenkirk, all the local churches, bigger churches, two of the churches in Glendora, St. Dorothy's and Glenkirk. They house the people for a week or two, okay, the homeless. And it's a loop. There's about 8 or 10 churches, big churches, and they bus them at night. They feed them, put them up for the night, wash, let them shower and everything. Then they bus them back to where they were during the day. So it's like a route. Well, our friends at Cara's Cafe, she did St. George. She even volunteered. She goes, I want to go help you. I said, we got enough. I'm volunteering with another group. So CCV, Ulysses and Irene, or Irene was and Michelle, they called. They said, hey, you want to be a part? I said, absolutely. The bike ministry went out. We fed. And so we were there. And, you know, I was kind of telling her, you know, hey, you know, it was awesome that we got together, whatever. But before we went, they were short on some potato salad. Well, the other church was supposed to have all the food. We were just going to serve. But I called, and everybody bought chips. Of course, it's probably the cheap thing. They needed chips, and they needed potato salad. They already had the meat and stuff. They were doing sloppy joes or something. I love sloppy joes, too. And anyway, but what happened was, is I went in the market. I went into, Smart and Final. So I grabbed my two things. I call. I text them, what do you need? Potato salad. So I go up there, and I'm carrying them, right? And this lady says to me, where did you go? And I'm like, excuse me? She goes, where did you go? And I looked at, who is it with Josh? And I said, I look at Josh and I go, probably to the potato chip aisle and then to the mac, just getting around, to the macaroni and cheese. And I got out of the mac and mac salad. She goes, no, the church. Where did you go? And I said, oh, I'm sorry. I go, we went to move to Glendora. She goes, oh, man, I'm just so worried about you. She goes, there's some Anchor Baptist now or another church there. She goes, this is not the same. She goes, it just changed. The neighborhood changed. All the people that you affected, like on the apartments, and she was talking about. And I was looking at her, and we never know. We never know who is watching us. And she goes, I'm going to convince you. She goes, my mom goes somewhere. She goes, we miss you. You changed the neighborhood. Your church changed the neighborhood. She goes, it's just different now. I don't know what happened. I don't want to say what she said, but it was just, you know, somebody could be listening and they'll come and get mad at me. But what I am saying is this, is that we affect people. We don't even know. I'm in a market and this lady just recognized me. Well, I had United Him, a big thing on my shirt on. But here's to say, she knew who we were and was concerned about us. And so everything we do, we never know who is watching us. And, you know, she was just really, but she blessed me because it showed me something. You know, we still have effect on that neighborhood. We have effect on this neighborhood. People are watching us here. The other church, they've had some knuckleheadism. That's a new word. Look it up. It'll be in the dictionary next year. Knuckleheadism. And what happened was, you know, the first month or something, they were kind of watching us. And it was really because they had so many problems with the renting to other churches and stuff. I had a meeting with them on Tuesday. They love us. They opened up some new things. They said, you guys are right on. Thank you. What can we do? We want to keep you here. Right? And it was like totally different than the first month. I mean, they were picking on everything. Everything. You left a light on, a door, this, your temperature was up. I mean, everything. Closed the bathroom. I was supposed to leave them open. First they told us to lock, and then they opened them. It was really confusing. I was getting like, I want out of here. I don't want to be under that oppression. So I even went to that meeting like this. And the truth of the matter, they were like, level, what do we need to do? What do you guys need from us? And they're like, ready to write it down. I'm like, well, I can use another trash can. Okay, and this and that, you know. We'd like to use the refrigerator. Okay, you know, because we couldn't use the refrigerator. I mean, weird stuff. Weird stuff. And for me, it's all God's. You know, whatever I got is yours. Whatever yours is mine. And I even told the pastor, I said, what happened this last year hurt me. I'm kind of gun shy. I'm gun shy with other Christians, and we shouldn't be like that. I think everybody's going to be like me. You know, I'll give you everything I got. That's just the way we are, especially at God's house. When I came here, I said, I wanted to paint. And, you know, I was like, what can we paint? And I, you know, put a little crown molding and scrape that ceiling, put some lights in here. That's the way I am, man. Let's spruce it up. And the guy's, what's wrong with it? glory to God, nothing. I'm going to go. Hallelujah. But people are watching us. They're watching us. We're that witness. They're witnessing us. Like we're being a witness, they're witnessing us the way we live. And you know what? Here's the thing is, when we're in here and around us, sometimes we're like that. But sometimes when we're not around Christians, we act just like them. So why should they change? Why should they have a difference in the way they serve God if we don't? If we're not different, what is any different? Why shouldn't they get into heaven if they're no different than us? Amen? And soldiers, you ever notice soldiers? Soldiers, when they come in, they're trained. They wear their uniforms. Yes, sir. No, sir. They meet me. Yes, sir. How you doing? Great, sir. What is that? That's because they're being trained. They're soldiers. They dress that way. Whenever they have their uniform on, they stand at attention. They do things. You know, when they take it off, they go on leave or stuff. They get a little crazy. But you know what? When every time they wear that representation of a soldier, they become that soldier. They don't live two ways. They don't talk two ways. They have the respect because they're soldiers. And as witnesses, that's the way the world needs to see us. As this person who we are, it's not on the outside. It should be right here on the inside. But what's on the inside should be on the outside as well. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 15 said this, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What does that mean? Does that mean that as a Christian, I'm a better Christian because I can tell you more about it? Or I understand the word of God more? Is that rightly dividing? I mean, well, my word's right. And I see a lot of churches and a lot of Christians do that. Well, that isn't what that means. It means this, and they start to argue. Be careful. Be careful, because we're going to get there in a minute. But listen to me. Not rightly dividing the word for somebody else. We love to, as Christians, to tell somebody else how to live. We do. Oh, my God. If you're going to live in my house, that's me. My kids, everybody going, you want to come live with me? You're going to go to church every day. I put it right out there. You got to pray and you got to go to five. No, I don't say that. But this is the thing. We want people to live the way we think. Amen? But rightly dividing the word doesn't mean for someone else. It means that I live rightly dividing the word in my life. It's how I am. How it discerns me and how I present myself. The Bible says present yourself to God, rightly dividing the word of God. If my life is right with God, then I'm a good witness. But we think that if I know the word for somebody else, and we can preach, we really can. Christians, especially in this church, is we're learning. We are. I tell you what, the church, we're learning the word of God. But all of a sudden we want to, you got to do that and you're doing that wrong. But that's not rightly dividing the word is. The rightly dividing word is how it's living in me. How I'm living according to the manual. Amen? Let's see here. That's why we must be reading our word daily. How do we know when we're rightly dividing the word? When we are applying it to ourselves and not trying to judge others by it. We try to judge somebody else by that. That's our weight and measure. It really is. We see some people go, then we know they're not wrong. The Bible says don't be unevenly yoked. So we use that. Well, that's that girl, that guy is not serving God. We shouldn't be marrying him. Crickets going on. That woman is not serving God. We shouldn't be marrying him. Shouldn't be even getting in a relationship with him. Listen to this. Get this news, girls. But get this news. If you don't plan on marrying somebody, you shouldn't be going out with them. Come on. What's the intent? What's the intent? If you don't plan on having a relationship, building and having the greatest relationship, especially getting married and in your life and you're dating somebody and you're, I'm just dating him because he's cute. Wow, that sounds just like the world. And then what happens? But if you date girls, and all of them are going to be like, don't go there, Pastor. But if you date when you get this on the internet or on CD or on your app, but listen to me, young men, same way. If you're going to date some girl, you better have intentions on marrying them. It should be saying, that's what I see in a woman. Well, and this again, I'm not going to change somebody because you can't change nobody. Only thing that can change them is God and them be changed. Women, you can't change men, and men, you can't change women. Believe me, talk to my wife a little bit and you'll understand. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 2 and 16 says this, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, and who have strayed according to the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Listen to this. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. This is the whole thing here. When God knows who you are and you know who yourself and God, you turn away from those things. You don't be the same. Somebody accused me the other day. I'm still angry about it. You know, said, oh man, you know, I just kind of heard something. Maybe I was lumped in a bad crowd. I got so angry. I even told my brother yesterday, I said, you know what? I haven't stolen anything in 20 years. And when I did it, I didn't even mean to. You know, I'm sure I did. I'm sure I've taken things or not. I'm not saying that. I'm not perfect, okay? But I never intend. I would never go out and steal something. And you lump me with a group of thieves and murderers and everybody else. I was offended by it. I was offended. I'm like, man, that's not me, but I'll get over it. A little more prayer. But it's the truth. Listen, you can't live two lives or serve two gods. You can't say, Lord, I want everything you got, and then still live like the way in the world. And you think, well, I'm serving God. I'm struggling in some areas. No, listen to me. He says you can't serve two masters. You can't. You'll either love one or hate the other. That's what the scripture says. Look at Matthew 6 and 24. I have it. No one can serve two masters, for either they will hate the one and love the other, or else to be loyal to one and despite the other, you cannot serve God and mammon or the things of the world. Listen to me. If you're still struggling in the world, you're trying to serve two masters. And you know what? There's no draw with God, because God's a jealous God. He'll say, make a choice. And we can't. We just say, you know what? There's just too much goodness in God. If the devil's a liar, first thing you think of something is, well, especially relationships. In relationships, I tell you what, love God and that relationship will become better. You try to love the relationship before God, it'll just draw you away from God. Amen? These things have changed the world. A word in the order to live. He's talking about the two. These here, these men, changed the word in order to live their life however they wanted. Anybody do that? Sometimes we do that. We'll look at the word and we'll say some things and we'll start to twist the word a little bit. Oh, well, that's what it means. It doesn't really mean that. God didn't mean that. That was for the Old Testament. Don't ever twist the word to justify your works. Don't do it. Don't say, well, he likes this and that, and you know, God, I can smoke pot because there was herbs in the Old Testament. If you know you're not supposed to be smoking pot, don't smoke pot. Well, pastor said if it doesn't bother you, you can smoke pot. That's twisting the word. If there's things in our life, well, I can drink wine because it's municipal. And Jesus turned water into wine. If you're starting to justify things in order to drink and stuff, you're twisting the word in order to live your life. These two did that too in the same Bible. Amen. Listen. In order to live their life, they wanted to become double. They became double-minded. And the Bible says that a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. Don't justify sin. Don't justify iniquity. Remember, you're a soldier. Don't go AWOL as a soldier for Christ. Don't get caught up in those little areas. Amen. Let's see here. We know in our spirit when we're doing wrong. Don't justify by proving your point. Own up to it, and it'll teach others to be better Christians, and you are to be a good witness. And this is the thing. You know, we know when we make mistakes. Does anybody not know when they make a mistake? We do. The best thing to do, and you want to be the better person, own up to it. Make a mistake. Don't say, well, they did that, and start justifying things. Don't we do that? Well, I did it because this. No, just own up to it. Be the better witness. See, God's looking for good soldiers. He's looking for good witnesses. He's looking to bless you. I messed up. I'm sorry. Okay, I did that. I messed up. I'm just going to be honest. I messed up there. It was my fault. And that's a good witness for God. What does he tell you? That you can be honorable. God wants honorable people. Listen, in verse 20 it says this, but in a great house there are only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, and some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself of the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. If you repent, it gives glory to God. No one's perfect, but honor is what's done after a mistake. What do you do after a mistake? Own it. If I make a mistake, own it. If I blew it here, own it. Look, Tony, I forgot to call you. I'm sorry. I owned it. See what I mean? But you know what? You become a good witness. The Bible says, if you go to your brother, you have gained a city. Why does it say that? If you have gained your brother, you gained a city, because people are witnessing this. They're seeing what's going on. They see that you're an honorable person. They know that if you make a mistake, you're going to own up to it, and it's going to be all right. You could be trustworthy, and as Christians, we need to be trustworthy. Amen? No one's perfect, but honor is what's done after the mistake. 2 Timothy 2 and 22, we're almost done here. Flee also from lustful Flee also youthful lust. Well, that was a long time ago for me, so like foreigner, youthful. But pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, and those who call on the Lord out of the pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. What are youthful lusts? I'm an old man, so I don't know. What are they? Well, listen. When I was a child, I did childish things. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. We know. Come on. As we're aging, as we're growing, especially as we're grouping as a church, and as we're going as a Christian, as we're growing up, as we're maturing as God's people, you know things. You know the things we used to do we shouldn't be doing. And if you're still doing and struggling with those things, you're not as Christian, you're not as strong as you think you are. We should be giving up those things, amen? We shouldn't be tripped up by the same old things. And if you are, maybe you're not pursuing them, amen? Maybe you are pursuing them. You know, because here's the thing. Sometimes we give this over to that, like, I keep falling. Well, you know what? When you keep falling, maybe you're not pursuing God. Maybe you're pursuing those things that are causing you to fall. Let's be honest. Remember we said about owning them. If we're struggling in errors, we need to adapt, amen? We need to get over them because we don't serve two masters. Amen? In verse 22, it says, flee also from the useful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, and those that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Here it is again. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Correct a person three times and then let it go. Correct them three times. Even the first time, let it go. If they're not going to take it, all you're going to do is cause a fight. You know, the Bible says, admonish a man, you know, two, three times, and then avoid that. Just avoid it. Not them, but just avoid the problem. You know, because if they're not going to receive it, you're not going to gain anything. You're just going to cause a quarrel. So just avoid it. Just say, that's it, I'm done. It's over. Don't worry about it. If they're not going to receive it, they're not going to receive it. They're without understanding. Amen? Verse 24 says this. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle in all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth. Love covers a multitude of sin, the Bible says. And then the last scripture in verse 26 was this. Listen to this. And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. You know, there's something we need to understand something. People are not going to be at our level. Listen to me. People are not going to be at our level. You know, my wife's not here, so I really can't pick on her. But when I met my wife, one time she told me, you know, I'm up here and you're down here. I'll never let her live that one down. And the truth of the matter is, we are at different levels. And some are greater in some gifts, and some are greater in other gifts. Some really excel in the things of God and the love, and some don't. Some excel in the word, but others have a greater love. We're at different levels all the time. And we can't expect people to be at our level. And that's why we need to let love cover that multitude of sin. Let's stand tonight. Amen.